We are witnessing the birth pains of racism in our country. And when full grown, we will be more divided. Let's change this trajectory together. Black, white, and any other color. We can do this. We have the power. Who is with us?
One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice.
Welcome to the One Mic, One Voice show, Building the Collective Conscience, a show that is created to give space where your voice, ideas, and informed opinions can be heard, appreciated, and debated. I'm Michael Eric Owens.
And I am Deshaun Thornton, affectionately known as DT.
On the other side of 50.
Episode 51.
On the other side.
Let's have some fun. People think you stopped. You just begun.
Hey, that's a new trajectory right there. Oh man, but we got a very intense show today, folks. We're talking about patriotism. We're talking about nationalism. We're talking about what's going on in the NFL. We're also going to deal with this idea of this anthem, this national anthem, and what it means historically to people of color. Gonna deal a little bit with how it came to be during the War of 1812, and so we got a lot to discuss. DT,
you remind me of this Stephen A. segment I seen a minute ago.
We trust me.
Said, yo. I got a lot on my mind. Let's go.
Trust me. We're gonna have some of that in the show today. I don't know if we're gonna definitely have Stephen A., but we're gonna have some of that is being just played out so much in the media that we have to talk about it. But the birth pains of racism in our country, we are seeing that, man, as a woman in labor. Mm-hmm. Okay, the agony of bringing forth life. But really, what we're talking about is not bringing forth life. We're talking about bringing forth death. We're talking about bringing forth hatred and division and divisiveness and bigotry. That's what we're talking about. The groanings of America, the birth pains of America. And folks, it's growing. It's growing. And anybody seems to think that it's not. Just look around you, DT.
What do you think about, what do you mean by it being full grown? What does that look like?
Well, that looks like a completely divided country. Mm-hmm. One in which the micro level represents the macro level. Now, we know on the macro level, there is just complete division. Okay, nothing's getting done in Congress. There's hatred between the executive branch and the Congress itself. The candidates, there's hatred between them. They're running, on so much, this idea of racism and how it plays out in our country. Who's the biggest racist? Who's the biggest bigot? Mm-hmm. So I think the micro level represents the macro level. In other words, we can't, we can no longer find any type of common ground when it comes to race in our country and injustice in our country. There was a classmate of mine had shared something with me that was on NPR. It's a professor that was talking about police brutality and what has happened over time. And her statement to me was, I'm finally starting to understand. Hmm. You see, that's why I say, are you with us? You know, we can change the trajectory of this issue in our country, but we have to intentionally come together. But if we're not educated, DT, mm-hmm. if we don't understand what the issues are, or we don't understand historically how these issues have played out over time, and how it is related to our present, then we could never come together. It's like you. It's like trying to, you know, have a bunch of guys show up and don't never tell them that you're playing football. They trying to figure out what game we're playing.
Right.
You know what I mean? They say, well, is basketball, football? No, we're not gonna tell you. Well, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to get some tennis shoes, some cleats? No, we're not gonna tell you.
No, I seen a bumper sticker the other day. I was on the road and it said, "Think, it's not illegal yet."
Mm. Yeah, you would think
and
it then is.
You think of, you talk yeah. about being, you know, educating ourselves. It's like the information is out there. There's really no excuse for us not to be trying to understand a little bit more about what's going on around us now that we have the tools and the technology to be able to do so. Think,
and
it's not illegal yet.
And we have to get beyond our own insecurities and. You know, this idea of taking personal blame for a situation that you had no control over. Mm-hmm. This is an educational moment for our country, for our world. No other time other than Reconstruction has attention been played in the political realm and really in society with black people. I mean, you know, at one time it was, you know, should they vote or, you know, how do they vote? Should they be in politics altogether? You know, they're free now. So what does that mean for them? So that was the black question. And today is the black question. You know, we need the black person's vote. You know, we need to address some of these issues that are happening in the black community. No longer can you deny it.
Can you talk about the importance of us putting our vote in? I hear a lot of people talking about, you know, the political system and not really having the faith in it to say, you know, I know that when I put my vote in, it's going to count. It means something. A lot of people are turning their backs to the polls, and it's such a sad thing to see, but it's such a reality now with everything that's going on.
Well, the problem is I think understanding that your vote doesn't necessarily change your life. Voting is, to me, is an obligation of being a citizen in a country. It is a right and an obligation. Now, just because it's a right and an obligation doesn't mean it changes your situation. You know, I think sometimes people say, well, man, why should I vote? Because, you know, it don't matter to me. Ain't nothing going to change for me. Well, that's the wrong spot to come from. Okay? That's the wrong perspective. You vote because you are a citizen, and it is your right and your obligation. You vote because the people that look like you died to fulfill that right or to have that right. Okay, so there is this kind of traditional link that's connected to it. So we're obligated to our foremothers and forefathers to do this. Now, whether or not it change is difficult. If you think one election is going to change your circumstance without you going to school, okay, without you trying to get a job, without you trying to better yourself as a person, without you doing the internal work, then that's a fool, okay?
Just going to fall out the sky. Huh?
You know, when was the last time somebody knocked on your door, DT, and said, hey, look, man, I got a, you know, few thousand I just want to just give you, man, just for being you. You know, and this car over here, yeah, it's yours just for being you. When was the last time that happened?
I think I was in a dream.
right.
It was me. It was this cat knocking on the door you're talking about.
Looked like Mike.
Yeah. Had a stack of money. I was right. Like, wow, for me? Really? Okay.
I mean, you had to put in the work. You had to get educated. You had to have good credit. You had to do the things that was necessary to change your circumstances.
Credit is another flaw, man.
We are not. Voting is a right that we're still fighting to maintain. Mm-hmm. And listen, if nobody voted, then the outcome is sure.
Yeah.
You see, I mean, if you disagree with what's going on in this country and you don't vote, then frankly, shut the hell up because you have no say so. You have no, if you don't vote, how can you sit up here and say, well, the country's this, the country's that? You didn't offer your opinion to that.
Okay? And what's funny is that people will line up to complain about this or that. But, you know, voting, I guess, has historically been such an important thing. It's why blacks thought it'd be right that we have the opportunity to do so. And to now see people who are turning their backs on that just because of what they and then, you know, there's a lot of things about conspiracy and, you know, different things that are out there now.
Electoral college. Yeah, I understand,
everybody trying to explain to you how the political system works, and they have no idea about what they're talking about. But it's like, how can we muster back up the strength of our ancestors, man? That spirit that they had to just do the right thing and stand up for the right things.
Well, first of all, and we're going to take a break here in a minute, they were uncomfortable, okay? The world was uncomfortable for them. There was an emerging passion to change their circumstance through voting, but through activism, through engagement, through protests, because they were not satisfied. You look around at a lot of black people, and I'm not going to even say black middle class folks, even black folks in the hood are satisfied. Okay, I'm slanging. I'm making a little money on the streets. Nobody's messing with me. This is where I live in my hood. This is how I make things work for me. Satisfied. Okay. They don't. We. And I'm not saying.
And then there's some honor in that too. So it's,
absolutely,
it's a skewed view of what success is. You know?
Absolutely, absolutely. So the times have changed. Okay, the times have changed, and some of the methodologies have changed. However, our circumstances have stayed the same, and people don't understand that. They don't understand the predicament in which we are. But with social media, all of a sudden, it's on Front Street, right? Yeah,
we share the ideas now,
and we share the ideas, but we also share the horror, mm-hmm. right? I mean, we see it. We see the deaths of innocent people each and every day, and so I think there is this coalescing, you know, that's happening, that people are coming together, not just black, but white, mm-hmm. but Asian, Hispanics. They're coming together because they realize, man, we can't continue to go, you know, this direction, and we have to change it. And today, folks, we're talking about someone taking a stance, someone at a very high level in our society, Colin Kaepernick. You've heard about it. We're going to talk about it today. We're going to go into deep detail about it, examine him, his stance, and not only what impact it has on the culture. Folks, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
What's up, guys? I am Leah Marie, owner of The Selfie Gods. Make sure you head over to our website, www.theselfiegods.com, and order your very own selfie moon. If you need that good lighting whenever you out in the club or you out hanging out with your friends and you need some more light for your selfies, that's definitely what you want to get, the selfie moon.
This is Dr. Paul Ketchum, and I fully support One Mic, One Voice, and I recommend you do the same.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show, Building to Collective Conscience. Colin Kaepernick. Wow. Brother Cap, you know, here he is, a native of Milwaukee, grew up, same place I was born and grew up. He was, his mother abandoned him, you know, gave him up for adoption. He was adopted by two white parents, mostly raised in California. He has been very vocal on Twitter prior to his stance or his taking his seat during the national anthem. So, Colin, against Green Bay, my team, okay, against probably his team growing up.
Probably wanted to be a Packer.
He probably wanted to be a Packer. Oh, by the way, just a sidebar, you see what my Badgers did to LSU yesterday, though?
Man, that was a cold game.
Oh,
Wow, we'll get into some sports.
Yeah, yeah, we'll come back to that because, but yeah, yeah,
but yeah, they looking nice. Yeah, looking nice. Clement came out. All right, let's get back to it.
And so he went to University of Nevada, very high profile athlete, but against Green Bay, drafted by the 49ers, almost took them to the Super Bowl. And he decides against Green Bay to not stand for the national anthem,
which was his right as an NFL football player.
So, well, the NFL says they have no fast rule on that. I mean, you're encouraged to, but you're not required to. So, Cap said he did not do it because of the injustices. Now, I'm paraphrasing. The injustices of what's happening to black and brown people in this country. He will not stand up and honor a flag that does not honor a segment of the citizenry in this country. What are your thoughts on that?
The impression that I got from hearing everybody's response to what Colin Kaepernick did was shut up and play football.
Mm. Mm.
This ain't the platform to be sharing your political views. Mm. And, you know, they say if he wanted to bring awareness, he should have, you know, put together a peaceful protest or some of these other tactics. But, you know, as an NFL football star, mm-hmm. what better platform do you have than to use, you know, whatever it is that that'll give you the best exposure to express whatever it is that you feel like you need to mm-hmm. be expressing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so for people to say, you know, he should have done it in other ways is only their opinion because they didn't grow up in Milwaukee. They don't know how Colin Kaepernick came to those conclusions and how he wanted to show that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, what would have been a better platform? What would have been a more acceptable place for him to do that if they were not going to accept him doing it at the football game?
Well, and you're so right. I mean, listen, he didn't bring attention to himself. Matter of fact, it was a reporter that saw him sitting and came up and asked him why was he sitting. Now, that's how that he wasn't like, you know what, tonight I'm not gonna stand, I'm gonna sit because of this. This was something that he had fashioned in his heart to do. Okay. And let me just remind folks of our First Amendment rights to the Constitution. Okay. Making of any law respecting the establishment of religion, impeding the free exercise of religion, abridging the freedom of speech. Okay. We have freedom of speech, freedom of expression, which so-called, okay, again, you know I was in the military 13 years, right? Okay. Sacrificed 13 years for this country.
I think it's so interesting, man, that you provide this this military perspective, because that was the big thing. They like, well, it was about the military.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, he's disrespecting the military. How could he disrespect the military? And you're talking to somebody that's been in the military and still share a compassion for other people. And so I think it's important that people see that this is bigger than the military. Mm. He's talking about a flag. You know, and I'm sure that there are people listening who are military people, and I respect you. Hey, that's your thing.
Mm-hmm.
But look, I know that there are some people when they look at the flag and the national anthem's going on, they're thinking about those times when they were in battle, when they were in training, when they were going through these things that reminded them of being a military representative or veteran.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other people, then it's just a formality. They're just standing up there with their hand on their heart or to their head or whatever, and it's just like they looking up into blank space, not really reflecting on anything and related to the military or how America got to this point right now. And it's just that when somebody of high status, of high social status, you know, decides to speak up against it, then it's a problem. But you ask anybody to recite every single line of the national anthem.
Can't do it.
Word for it. Couldn't do it. So really, what is your allegiance to the song even, to the flag even?
Well, first of all, I mean you bring up some very interesting points. First of all, okay, as a veteran, I am absolutely not offended because you fight so that to protect this country and so that the citizens of this country can have every right to do what they want to do. Okay? We fight to uphold the Constitution. And the Constitution says, Brother Cap can do that. Okay. It's no disrespect to me. And it's no disrespect to veterans. He said himself, I have family members. I respect veterans. And as a veteran, we want to ensure that every American has the right to say whatever they want to say and stand for whatever they want to stand for. That's why we do what we do. And to sit up there and to use a veteran, this is what bothers me. They use us as pawns.
Yeah, yeah.
As peons. Oh, yeah, you're offending a veteran. But you never asked a veteran. When the last time they asked me? Mm-hmm. You know, you never.
And Michael, you bring up a great point. When is the last time you asked Michael Eric Owens? Because if they did, you'd have something to say. You've been dialoguing this for the past your lifetime, you know, and it's not like it's something new, but because it's Colin Kaepernick, that's the issue.
Yeah, that is.
It's not like he's the first person that's come out and said that or come out and expressed it that way. But because it's him, now we have somebody to point the finger at.
Well, Jackie Robinson expressed it.
And continue to turn your eye to what's really being said and done.
And so I think, you know, when it comes to the criticism of Kaepernick, we need to be extremely careful because what we are criticizing him for is what we desire to have ourselves. We don't want anybody to tell us what to believe, how to believe it, what to stand for, what not to stand for. We want that freedom, but you criticize him for exercising that which you desire to have. We have to be careful. He has opened up a Pandora's box. Okay, this is it. We're looking at it now. We're talking about the history of this country in the flag, in the very anthem that we sing. We will find out on this show, on the third stanza, it talks about slavery. Oh, we only sing one verse of it? Yeah, folks.
It's been edited.
Yeah, we don't go that far into the song because there are some things in this, in the anthem that I don't think a lot of people would be pleased about. And
we'll probably sing it.
No, we won't sing it. No, you won't hear that being sung.
No,
you know, you won't hear that sing. They do the first.
No, I'm not saying you. I'm saying who. How many of those people would, like you said, be proud of singing that type of song?
Well, yeah.
I mean, that would never mind. Because you know what, that somebody listening like me, I'd be proud. Word for word.
Oh yeah, I know the third stanza. Word for word. I don't know about the first. But folks, listen, we're gonna take a break and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Tiffany Hill, host of Authentic Conversations, a weekly motivational podcast where we discuss matters such as self-worth, relationships, parenting, professional development, physical, emotional, and spiritual health. You can find me on Facebook at Authentic Conversations by Tiffany Hill, on social media at @th_authentic, and you can also subscribe to Authentic Conversations on iTunes and Podbeans, and the show is also available on blackinstudios.com. I look forward to connecting with you, and remember, to live authentically is the ultimate form of happiness.
This is DT of the One Mic, One Voice podcast. Just want to let you guys know you can go over to iTunes and search us at One Mic, One Voice, and be sure to rate and review our episodes. Let us know about any feedback that you have and what you enjoy about the episodes. Also, you can go over to Stitcher, where you can get the latest and freshest episodes of our podcast streamed directly to your smartphone or iPad. No downloading or syncing. How cool? Real smooth. Also, we'd just like to take the time to thank you for your time and for your energy and for spending time with us as we discuss the historical record of our time.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show. You know, a legend sat down with Roland Martin and talked about this controversy, Harry Belafonte. And if anyone can put this in perspective, it's Brother Belafonte. Let's take a listen to what he shares.
Mr. B, we have professional athletes. LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Paul, Carmelo Anthony, they stand up at the ESPYs and they talk about athletic involvement, social issues. We have Colin Kaepernick, plays for San Francisco 49ers. He decides, I'm not going to stand with the national anthem. Being attacked all across the country. In fact, Mike Freeman wrote this piece for the Bleacher Report, came out on August 31st, where NFL front office executive said, he's a traitor. F that guy. I will quit if my owner asked me to sign him. There's no way I would want this guy on my team. If their comments are true, San Francisco cuts him, no team ever signs him. Does that become a chilling effect for the next athlete who decides to take a stand? And how should the public respond to these kind of anonymous comments from NFL front office executives?
To mute the slave has always been to the best interests of the slave owner. And I think that when a black voice is raised in protest to oppression, those who are comfortable with our oppression are the first to criticize us for daring to speak out against it. I think that it's a noble thing that he's done. I think that speaking out and making people aware of the fact that you are paying homage to an anthem that also has a constituency that by the millions suffer is a righteous thing to do. The fact that these people are having these, how dare you speak out against lynching and all of the things that that racism stands for, or the conclusions to racist acts permit, I think is a statement about America. I think he's a noble and a courageous man for having done that. Now, I say this with some history of my own. I was at the height of American success, hit records and movies and being rewarded by millions of people coming in attendance to the audiences that I played around the world. The machinery of oppression was always at work trying to discredit me, make me a communist, make me unpatriotic, etc., etc., etc. And it takes a lot of courage to stand up in the face of that onslaught, that reactive moment, and not bend to the wind. What I would love to see is a few hundred other black athletes take that as a symbol. It doesn't affect the game. It doesn't affect the way it's going to be played. It just tells you a lot about what the people on the field are thinking in their every waking moment.
So you're saying you would love to see athletes today rally around him, like that group of black athletes, Jim Brown, Bill Russell, and others, when they rallied around Muhammad Ali?
Absolutely. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, the black community, now let me go further than that, the American community, the citizens of this nation are beautifully enhanced by being exposed to the fact that there's this dissatisfaction and that there's something they can do about fixing it. And I think that what he has done not only comes out of a tradition of protest, but I think it's one of the most important weapons we have.
But he also says this 44 years after Jackie Robinson wrote it. Jackie Robinson wrote, in his own words, in his autobiography, he said, he talked about that first World Series he performed in. And he said, he stood there and they were playing the national anthem and they were singing and the flag is billowing in the wind. And he said, as I write this 20 years later, I cannot stand and sing the anthem. I cannot salute the flag. I know that I am a black man in a white world in 1972, in 1947, at my birth in 1919. I know that I never had it made.
Not only was he right in a righteous way, as well as in a historic way, but I think that what Jackie Robinson did encouraged an awful lot of other players that came after him to stand with dignity and to stand with strength in the face of that kind of debate. I'm just sorry to see that more black people who have attained the level of success. I once said to a group of young black artists, I said, never before has America boasted of such a harvest of celebrity as we experience today across the boards. We have more black artists with hit records and in front of show business and on all the charts. We have black athletes up the yin-yang in almost every sport. We have so many where black celebrity is displayed that could make a difference. And yet never has there been such an absence of black celebrity voice in relationship to the problems that black people face today in a severe way. I'm amazed at the fact that with Trayvon Martin and any number of people who have been murdered and who have been shot down and who are the victims of a certain kind of unrepentant racist behavior, that black people haven't flooded the streets in a greater act of protest to all of this that's going on. A. Philip Randolph once said, if you are comfortable with my oppression, then you are my oppressor.
That says a whole lot right there.
Wow.
Man, he left my guy speechless, huh, at the end. Wow, man, what a well-spoken perspective.
Legend.
Man, that's deep.
I mean, he
painted a portrait right there.
Yeah.
Beautifully put.
Yeah.
Made me feel insecure. Let me say that, first of all.
Well, I mean, he
but the guy got, man, I'm just young, that's all.
And he pointed out, I mean, the reality that we have more black entertainers than ever before, and athletes and so forth, and the lack of social consciousness, you know, my kind of word.
I immediately thought about Muhammad Ali when he said that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, where
and
are.
His refusal to go to the military for that same reason. Yeah.
So what?
You're my oppressor. You're the one I have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Why should I go oppress people abroad when you're oppressing me here? I mean, Ali's stance. And so I think, you know, it's clear what Harry Belafonte shared with Roland Martin, that it's a noble thing. And he talks about chilling effect, which happens all the time in our society. I mean, think about, okay, let me just put this out here. Folks that are listening to us right now, those of you who feel like you can't say anything on your job because of some sort of repercussion against you, that's a chilling effect. For those of you out there that say, man, I can't stand up for social issues on social media. What if my boss finds out, or I work for the city finds, that's a chilling effect. That prevents you from speaking up because you are afraid of what you might lose. And what Roland was saying, if, and it seems like the 49ers are not going to get rid of him, okay, right now, okay, because it's so hot. But what if they do get rid of him and no other team will pick him up? What other athlete will speak up? It's a chilling effect. Mm-hmm. See, they don't have to come out and say, we don't want you to say anything.
Yeah.
All they have to do is just set an example. Mm-hmm. This is the example. And you realize, man, I can't say anything, man. Look what they, right now, the media has put a chilling effect on this by demonizing him. So other athletes are saying, man, you seen the way they treating brother in mm-hmm. the Twitter and
the, oh man, you know, I recorded the last preseason game they played. I'm not sure who they was against, but I just mm-hmm. wanted to see what the mm-hmm. reaction was when he got on the field.
Yeah.
Man, they booed this man every time he touched the ball, every time he was about to snap the ball. Yeah. And it's like, to me, like, I mean, even in the spirit of competitiveness, like, that, like it was everybody.
Yeah.
Probably wasn't just the other fans, maybe some 49ers fans that was there. But, it sounded like the whole room was just booming with boos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't think that's professional.
No,
and if it's his right to speak and be for whatever it is he's for,
because
I mean, why can't we respect that instead of showing a disrespect for that right by booing him at a national football game?
Because you know what the reality is, brother, is that we are only for what we want to be for.
Shut up and play football.
Because we say we have religious freedom, but we demonize Muslims. Mm-hmm. And in some regions of the country, we demonize Catholics. Okay, we say that there's freedom of speech, but don't say anything that I don't like.
Right. Don't make me feel uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
Please.
So, no, although those are words in the Constitution, as a country, we have yet to arrive at a place where we can respect the rights of each other. We don't respect the rights of each other. That's why I get so much flack on Facebook. Folks don't respect what I say. Now, you can disagree and still respect. I had a friend of mine that said, you know, Mike, we probably agree on this one, but we probably disagree when it comes to the election. That's a beautiful thing. I said, indeed we do, my friend. You can disagree with me without trying to silence me or change me. You understand what I'm saying? So all of a sudden, now you are right, I'm wrong. My opinion has no value because it is different from yours. That's the problem we have in this country. We say, you hear all these people, we were built on, you know, Judeo-Christian values. Well, folks, is Judeo-Christian values owning people? Okay, should we go there, right? So these pious founding fathers that so-called that we have all own slaves. So is that Judeo? Did Jesus own slaves? I don't think he owned slaves. I don't think he condoned slavery. So when we really want to talk about the truth, people get uncomfortable. They don't want to accept that reality. And the reality is that Kaepernick has every right to do what he is doing. And folks, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about this anthem, this one that we stand up. And as a military veteran, I salute it. Matter of fact, it's known on the base when you're driving and they start playing it, you got to pull your car over. If you're walking on the base when they play it, you salute the closest flag to you. So when you talk about showing respect for the flag, it's the highest respect in the military. But let me tell you something. There's a history that folks don't tell you about the flag, and we're going to deliver that to you today.
Uh-oh.
We'll be right back.
This is Richard Taplin, host of Black in Studios, The Black Box. Join myself and Elijah Bailey as we discover new ways to self-improve ourselves. Also, we interview podcasters and local entrepreneurs. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Black in Studios, and also come to our website, blackinstudios.com. You can find all the podcasts I record here. And remember, it's Black in.
This is Josh K.
And I am Leah Marie.
And when we listen to podcasts, we always listen to
One Mic, One Voice.
You can change the world, it's your choice.
Your choice.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show. You know, again, you know, we talked about the history of the Star Spangled Banner. And most folks know it was written by Francis Scott Key, but it was written during the War of 1812. And the War of 1812 is beyond the scope of our program, so we're not going to go into that confrontation between the colony and the British. But however, the story goes that that Key had was trying to he had a friend, a doctor, I believe it was Dr. Bean, that had been captured by the British, and he had went to go seek his release right outside of Fort McHenry. And they kept Key and his friend on the ship. During the battle of Fort McHenry, while the British were bombing Fort McHenry, bombing it, with immense, armory. The following morning, Keyes, when the smoke cleared and the clouds moved, he saw the flag still waving, meaning that the United States or the colonists had not been defeated. And so he wrote this as a poem. Okay. Now, this was not adopted as the national anthem until 1913. So here was, and I believe it was, I mean, somebody can always check me, but I believe it was 1814 that he actually wrote the poem. So here, almost 100 years later, it's adopted. Now, let's also talk about the fact that Francis Scott Key, he was a slave owner himself. Okay, he owned slaves. Okay, and during this time, the British had gave a call that said that any slave that wanted to seek their freedom and fight for us against the colonists, they could do that and they could be free. So about 6,000 did that. And there was this colonial Marines had fought a battle against Key, who was a lieutenant, and defeated his regiment. Okay, so he had some hostility towards slaves. He owned slaves. He lost in the battle to these black slaves. Not good. And so he puts pen to paper regarding the flag, and we adopt it in 1913. But there's, I believe, four stanza to it. And the third one says something very interesting, DT. What is exactly?
So? All right, well, let's jump into the lyrics, why don't we? Starting at the third stanza of our national anthem, our Star-Spangled Banner, reads this: "And where is that band who so vauntingly swore that the havoc of war and the battle's confusion, a home and a country, should leave us no more? Their blood was washed out their foul footsteps' pollution. No refuge could save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave." "And the Star-Spangled Banner in triumph doth wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave."
We don't sing that one, do we?
Sound like a scary movie.
Do we sing that one?
No, we don't. And I bet you, like we talked about before, but before now, most people probably didn't know that that stanza existed.
No.
Or would feel any compassion for the song itself had that been included.
Exactly.
In the current version. So you mentioned this guy himself owned slaves. So has some very deep disdain for those slaves who decided that they wanted to be free. Mm-hmm. And at whatever cost, they would go and fight for the British if that meant that they would not have to return to the America and be forever slaved in a system that just wasn't working out for them.
No, you are correct. And when one listens to that stanza and the idea that slaves in the Harling, okay, the fact that slavery is mentioned, and it's mentioned in a way that the land of the free is not for the slave, okay. But this anthem is supposed to represent descendants of slaves. And so when you it can truly change your perspective of this so-called national anthem. Mm-hmm. How can you stand for something that speaks of such a dark time in our society in this heroic way? It doesn't say slavery was wrong or the slave should be free. Mm-hmm. It says the blood of the slave, as a slave flees, okay, and how the slave should be associated with the grave and with death. So you tell me, how is a person of color supposed to perceive that?
Let me talk about this, the definition of hireling. It says in the stanzas, no refuge could save the hireling and slave. A hireling is a person who works for only for pay, especially in a menial or boring job, with little or no concern for the value of the work. Think slavery was a boring job? Well, think they found meaning and fulfillment in that?
I doubt that very seriously. I mean, it's interesting that why has this history not been talked about?
Because Colin Kaepernick just now sat down during the Star Spangled Banner, and now we're paying attention to it.
And so, in many ways, we should be indebted to Brother Cap for making this an issue and for educating society.
Now, did he do his job? Is my question now, because he wanted to bring awareness, right? Now everybody's well aware of what's happening.
Absolutely, folks.
So I mean, I think it worked.
I mean, the reality is, you have to for yourself. And I would never tell anyone, their blood has washed out their foul footsteps pollution. Mm. No refuge could save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave. In that star-spangled banner in triumph doeth wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. We'll be right back.
Thank you for downloading this episode. Here on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play Music, or whatever podcasting library you're listening to this show on, please rate and review. Those reviews and ratings help us tremendously. We thank you.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show. You know, some students from Morgan State University did this documentary. You can catch it. It's on my Facebook page. It's called What So Proudly We Hail. And we're just going to just listen to a few minutes of it, and we're going to come back and talk about it.
It is a militaristic song. It is a song that was born out of a military struggle that took place well over 150 years ago. And it came out of that period, and it's probably fairly appropriate for the time. Whether it is appropriate for this day and age is another question to be asked.
You know, Sierra Bell, you do know about our nation's anthem, correct?
Yes.
Now, previously to our conversation, did you know that there were four stanzas to our Star Spangled Banner?
I believe so, yes.
Four parts?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Did you know that there were four parts to the Star Spangled Banner?
No.
No.
I don't know much about it. I didn't know that there were more stanzas, but I didn't know what the stanzas were.
In the case of the Star Spangled Banner, you don't go to the third verse because the third verse is a very troubling verse. The first verse celebrates the victory that took place at Fort McHenry in September of 1814. But the third verse decries the flight of blacks from slavery to the British side, to serve in the British Army during that battle that occurred earlier in August of 1814 when the British attacked the Battle of Bladensburg just outside of Washington, D.C.
And where is that man who so vauntingly swore
that the havoc of war and the battle's confusion, a home and a country should leave us no more.
Their blood has wiped out their foul footsteps' pollution.
A refuge could save their erring enslaved from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave.
And the Star-Spangled Banner in triumph doth wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave.
I feel like, well, there's obviously a reason why they left it out, because a lot of people wouldn't be willing to say it anymore if they knew that this was a key component.
I'm taking it as that the Star-Spangled Banner wasn't intended for black people. That's just reading that. That's how I'm portraying it now.
I feel like this definitely needs to be included as far as how our nation is represented. Although maybe the wording, it can kind of be misconstrued in a certain way.
It's kind of contradictory to the song, because if this is about freedom and then they're talking about slavery inside of it, then it just contradicts the point. I probably wouldn't sing it anymore, actually. Or even, I don't know. I wouldn't give it as much respect as I do now.
Yeah, that's sketchy. And I don't know why this hasn't been talked about before. I mean, I guess because people don't know about it, but this needs to be, people need to be aware of this, because that's not cool.
Wow, man. Yeah. I think some really deep observations by, you know, Morgan State, Morgan University students, and reflecting of now having the full knowledge of what that anthem represents. Man, what do you take away from this conversation? Because, like, as she said, why is this not talked about? Right. Why do people not know this?
I mean, right away, and this is kind of silly, but I thought about people finding out for the first time. Say you took your favorite Bible verse, right?
Mm-hmm.
Been loving it your whole life. Anybody ask you, you Psalms 1-25, you know, and you got these certain verses that you like, and they mean something to you,
yeah.
Right? And then you find out that in a couple of those verses, there's an F word that used to be there.
Yeah.
As a Christian, are they still your favorite?
Yeah.
Do you still want to recite them? Do they still mean the same thing to you?
Yeah.
And I think that, I mean, that's just a kind of silly analogy, but to think that this is what people are realizing is that, man, we need to take a look at this song.
Mm-hmm.
And as Americans, as people living on this soil, is this what we represent now? Are these the same Bible verses that I like now that I know that the F word is in a couple of them, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
There are some flaws in our Star-Spangled Banner. There was a reason why Colin Kaepernick felt the need to not stand and be proud of something representative of something so oppressive and so demeaning for black and brown people, as he put it. And I think the students are reflecting and being able to verbalize their feelings about what they're learning about the new stanza and what they think about it going forward now that they know what's happened, what's going on.
Well, I can tell you, it really, for me personally, it changes my view. I mean, you said something I think is very powerful. Does it represent us now? And I would have to say no. And if we can't embrace the entire song, then we can't embrace the song at all. And as we wind this show down, I want to talk about patriotism versus nationalism and the difference between the two. And this really relates to our conversation about the conversation, because we've heard how unpatriotic he is, mm-hmm. and how, you know, how this is so disrespectful to veterans and disrespectful for this country. Have I heard people say if he doesn't like it here, you know, move to Canada? But as you can see,
and they made it about, oh man, that's something else. I was thinking, and I was hearing people mm-hmm. give their, you know, their 2 cents about how he should feel, and everybody made it about his money. How dare him be making such a living here in America and be disgruntled about something? Mm. How dare he not have compassion for other people because he makes so much money? Mm-hmm. We've known people who've made a lot of money and been so sad. I am not one of them.
Yeah.
But we know them. And that's not the end all be all that you have a certain amount of money in your bank account and now you need to be silent about the things that go on in your mind and not in your bank account.
Well, it's the chilling effect, again, mm-hmm. getting back to that. And does money trump principle? Mm-hmm. By no means. It should not trump principle. But I would say, so let's talk for a minute about patriotism versus nationalism.
All right, so we got the difference, right? So the difference between patriotism and nationalism is that the patriot is proud of his country for what it does. And the nationalist is proud of his country no matter what it does. The first attitude creates a feeling of responsibility, while the second, a feeling of blind arrogance that leads to a war.
Mm. So the patriot is the one that holds his country accountable, is the one that stands up to the principles of his or the founding documents of his country and says, you are on the wrong track. You are in error. That's the patriot.
Like a big brother. So
exactly. The patriot doesn't sit back and say, do whatever you want to do. The patriot doesn't sit back and say, okay, it's great that you're committing mass genocide on the natives people and that you're enslaving people, that you have internment camps. No, the patriots talk. The patriot calls out the country for the injustices and the ills. Why? Because they love their country and they want their country to be on the right footing. That's the patriot. The nationalist only cares about themselves and their own view of what their country is. They don't care about the founding documents. They only use the founding documents when it benefits them. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's my constitutional right.
Exactly. That's the only time they use it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's my Second Amendment right to have my gun. That's the only. But this man sat in silent protest. I mean, how many people have said, you know, I mean, this thing was that I posted on Facebook about, I shared it actually, which was pretty crazy, that people were still offended by how he did his protest. I mean, and I'm trying to find this, and it's pretty simple. I should be able to memorize it, but here it goes, and this I just shared this. It says, white people, this is what white people say. Black people should protest peacefully. Okay, black person sits quietly during national anthem. White people, no, not like that. Okay, I mean, it's like so how else could he? It couldn't have been more of a
respectful way.
Docile, sort of
peaceful.
Protests.
And like you said, he didn't mention it to anybody before it happened. He's like, you know what? This is the game plan. I'm about to go out here. I'm about to sit down on the bench. They're going to play the national anthem. I'm going to be sitting right here, not moving, not standing. I'm not about to, you know, it's not like he put this whole story together before it happened. It's just like you said, somebody observed him sitting and asking what it was about. And because he explained why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
then that's the problem everybody had. But I mean, by definition, he was being a patriot. He was saying, you know what, man, there are some problems here. And as a person who have a spotlight, who have a voice, he also mentioned that I speak for people who are voiceless.
Yes,
who don't get a chance to be heard. Like I mentioned earlier, you have plenty of record of putting these issues to the forefront where they have not been. On this, have TMZ called you or been outside your house? And, oh, Mike, I can't believe you've been posting these posts. But people have been talking about this forever. And it's our right to do so. But it's like we're criticizing Colin Kaepernick for the wrong reasons, man, because we feel like he should just be able to play football, entertain us, not be a thinking, living, being person, and have a conscience and all these things that make us human beings. He should not show us any of these type of qualities.
Yeah.
While he's in the realm of playing football, but that minimizes all of us because we can't speak about how we feel in our jobs. We can't talk about it at home. We can't talk about it at church. We can't talk about it amongst our friends. When do we get a chance to really express our discomfort or our disdain for these things that are happening around us every single day, and everybody's just playing like there's nothing going on. Mm-hmm. When is it going to be the right time to speak up?
Yeah, I mean, and your question is probably the most important question. In the eyes of the oppressor, in the eyes of people that don't want to hear it, there's never an appropriate time, because what they want you to do is to bury it and say it is over. America's great. We've moved beyond all of these issues. Well, folks, you have to have your head buried in the sand not to understand what we're going through in this country and what we continue to go through in this country. Listen, I support the freedom of expression, the freedom of speech, and I just want to say the NFL needs to be very cautious about how they proceed with Brother Cap, because there's a lot of people that are watching this, and we will not be silent. We will not go quietly into the night. These issues will not be put to rest until they are solved to minority folk satisfaction. Nobody else's satisfaction, to minority, to the oppressed satisfaction. And we will continue to do this, DT. We will continue to talk about these issues, continue in this struggle, in this fight, right along with our white brothers and sisters, Hispanic, Asian. We will continue in this fight because we realize history will speak of us. Somewhere in the distant future, Scribe will reach down deep into the archives of our time, and what will she find? Will she discover that we overcame our differences? Will she find that out of many, we became one? Or will she find that we solved nothing and remain a divided peoples? Yes, history will speak of us.
We can make a difference if we try. We can beat the change that's in our lives. All we gotta do is work together. We gotta raise our children better. We gotta stop the hate, and spread the love.
One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice,
your choice.
Today's broadcast is being brought to you by Blacken Studios. To learn more about Blacken Studios, please visit them at blackenstudios.com or visit them on their Facebook page, Blacken Studios. Today's broadcast is also being brought to you by Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. To learn more about Perry Publishing and Broadcasting, please visit their website at perrypublishingandbroadcasting.net. The opinions of the One Mic, One Voice show do not reflect the views of Blacken Studios or Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. Thank you for downloading the One Mic, One Voice show.